This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I appreciate that song this morning, Kent, and all the songs. This is a great day, even though the Denver Broncos got beat severely. And we are recovering from that this morning. It's still a wonderful Lord's Day. Amen. We are here with family, fellowshipping with one another. There's a lot of new people here. And we're glad you're here. It's nice to see all the new faces, the little kids. We have Patty Brennan. I mean, it couldn't get any better than this. It's a wonderful, wonderful day that God has blessed us with. You know, this year has been kind of interesting for me when it comes to, for me personally, when it comes to the football season. I want to say a little something, and then I'm going to leave it alone. But I've followed this year football probably more than I have in a long time. I don't know if you have. I don't know if you've been following the Broncos, but if you have been, it has not been a boring year, right? There's a lot that's happened this year, the story of the team. Over the last couple of the years, what's happened to the franchise, bringing in John Elway, Mr. Bronco himself, all the things going on, the national publicity that we've had this year has been amazing. The story of Tim Tebow, their quarterback, and all those things that have been going on. There was a story that was told earlier this weekend. If you watched the game last night, they talked a little bit about it before the actual game. And I want to tell the story. I actually had this story for my lesson before the game, believe it or not. I was working on it Tuesday afternoon. But, you know, in a game, in most professional sports, when they are through with their game, specifically football, the quarterback will get up at the press conference. It's really bad if they lose because they get grilled and questioned about what happened in this game and why did you do this and what have you. But this particular game was a good game when we beat the Steelers. And Tebow was being interviewed and he was there. And during the interview, I don't know if you saw this, it really caught my attention. He was being questioned and it was a great moment. And he brought up the story of this girl named Bailey. And last night they talked about this. This is a young girl, 16 years old, who is a student at Thompson Valley High School in Loveland. Her parents, I believe, attend Resurrection Fellowship or some congregation around this area. And Tim brought her up in this interview. And the story was told that basically sometime back, she had sent the Tim Tebow Foundation a letter. And I don't know what the content of the letter was. The story didn't tell us. But she sent a letter to them. And the Thursday before the Steelers-Bronco game, she received a package from the foundation with four tickets to the game. And not only did she get to go with her family, but she actually got to sit with Tim's family, the rest of the family. Now, before the game, now, I don't know if you heard about this girl. She had a terrible, terrible disease. Don't even know the name of the disease. Long, long name that they mentioned last night. But she had one of her lungs removed and 70-plus surgeries. I mean, one surgery is bad enough. But can you imagine this poor young girl? 16 years old. I think 73 surgeries. And very, very sick girl. But before the game, Tim brought her a ball and encouraged her. And then after the game, came over and spent time with both families. That was kind of neat. He brought this up during the interview. And here's what he said. This is what caught my attention. He said, "I am thankful that for the platform." Basically, this was what he said. "I am thankful for the platform that God has given me." And then he went on to say something about Bailey, and he said, "Really, this for me, to be able to help this young lady, was the greatest win of the day for me." I don't know what your views are on this, and that doesn't matter at all. How you feel about this young man, to me it's a breath of fresh air to see this young influence for our young people. I like that. It's kind of encouraging to me. But it really caught my attention and made me think when that young man at 24 years old said in the spotlight that he has, "I'm so thankful for the platform God has given me." That in the way that he knows how, he is trying to use that for God. And it made me really reflect on my own lives. It made me think about our lives. and the truth of the reality of our Christian lives, that God has given every one of us, church, a platform. We don't have the same platform. We don't have His platform. I don't have yours. You don't have mine. But God has given us a platform, and we are to use that platform for Him. The problem is, we don't always do that. But we have a platform, and the question I want to leave with us this morning and make us think about is, how are we using that platform? What are you doing with the platform God has given you? There's an audience. Maybe it's an audience in your home with just a few people, but there's an audience. Maybe it's with your family, maybe it's on the job site, maybe it's with your friends. I don't know, but it is a platform, and God desires that we use that platform for Him, for His glory. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John. You know, the greatest platform ever used was that of Jesus Himself. He had a platform. Paul had a platform. Peter had a all the disciples, as we do, they had their platform. John chapter 12 is a great chapter. This is leading up to the very trial and crucifixion of Christ. Remember, at the beginning of chapter 12, we find Mary anointing the feet of Jesus. Now, she has a good relationship with Him. She anoints the very feet of Jesus, and we know with a burial there was an anointing. And she had some insight there. But she anoints the very feet of Jesus. And as you go on, we find the story where He enters Jerusalem, and that's what they call the triumphal entry. This speaks to Jesus coming as the King, the Messiah. It was a fulfillment of prophecy, for in verse 13, and that's area down to verse 15, we see that. He said, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Verse 15, the passage that was quoted, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey on a colt." We saw the fulfillment of prophecy there in Christ entering in Jerusalem as a king, as the Messiah. Well, there were some Greeks that came, some Gentiles that came and questioned the disciples. And they brought this to Jesus Himself. And Jesus responded to that. He said, "The hour has now come." Now, that's a key phrase in John. My hour has not come. My hour has not come. It's not time yet for the Son of Man to be glorified. But finally, the hour has come. And we see that that's the cross. We know that's the cross. But He says in verse 23, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And then He tells this little story about wheat and the grain falling to the ground. And He relates that to His own life and death. That the grain has to die, it has to fall in the ground, has to fall off, it has to die for it in order to produce more fruit. He said, "This is the same for my life." That Jesus had to die in order for the fruit of God to be born, in order for us to continue today to bear fruit. So Jesus tells that story, and He's speaking of His death. We know that because later on He's going to say that. And then we find His soul grieved. He knows what's going to happen. Verse 27, His heart is troubled. "What shall I say, Father?" He's praying to God, "Save me from this hour. Save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify Your name." And then a voice came from heaven and spoke. God Himself spoke. And He said, "I have both glorified it, and I'm going to glorify it again." Now, what's He speaking to? He's not speaking to Jesus there. This is for the disciples. "I'm going to glorify it again. I'm going to glorify it when I give you up on the cross." We see that in verse 33. But I want to focus on verse 31 and 32. "Now, judgment is upon this world," Jesus said. "Now, the ruler of the world shall be cast out." That's sin and evil, Satan himself. Defeated at the cross, we know that. But notice verse 32. Think in terms of the platform of Jesus. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." Listen to that promise. And what is he talking about? We know what he's going to talk about, verse 33. He was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he would die. We know he was lifted up, wasn't he? He was lifted up on a cross. He was buried in a tomb, right? And he was lifted up by the very power of God 3 days later. He was lifted up twice. Well, he's lifted up again when he ascended back up into heaven, wasn't he? But Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. Jesus used his life as a platform, didn't he? For God. I think in John chapter 18, the platform before Pilate, the governor, all those questionings of Jesus, and Pilate himself even concluded that he finds no guilt in this man. But he had the pressure of the Jews, didn't he? Jesus used his life as a platform even before the Jews. When he was on the cross and they said, crucify him, right? Remember when Jesus uttered the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. His life was a platform. Even at his death. We remember at the cross there were two thieves. And remember, the Son of Man on earth had the right and ability to forgive sins then and there. He could do that. And while on the cross, he looked at one of them and said, what? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Using his life as a platform. And what was it that drew people? I mean, when you stop and think of this text, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. What comes to your mind? What was the drawing power of Jesus? What was the drawing power of Jesus then? What's the drawing power of Jesus in your life? What's the drawing power of Jesus out in the world today? For we know he's still influencing people's lives. I think Jeremiah hinted on this in chapter 31:3. You don't need to turn there. I'll quote it. But he said, the Lord appeared to him from afar saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. I think that's the heart of it, isn't it? Isn't that what drew you? Isn't that what draws today as Jesus is lifted up? And we're going to talk about that in a minute, how he's lifted up in our lives. How is he lifted up? He's drawn by love. We know that nobody will come to the Father unless the Father draws him, right? John chapter 6:44. How does God draw? He draws the same today as he did yesterday. He did 2,000 years ago. He draws it through his Son. If Jesus is lifted up from the earth today, he still is drawing men unto himself. That's why we've got to use our lives as a platform for him. I think of Paul using his life in Galatians. Paul was an amazing man. He said, I won't boast in anything. Oh, one thing I'll boast about. What I will boast in is the cross of Jesus. That was number one to Paul, wasn't it? That's Galatians 6 and verse 14. That's what was important to Paul's life. We find out later in that chapter in verse 17 that he would bear the brand marks of Jesus literally in his body. He would lift him up literally by his very own body. And men were drawn, weren't they? Women were drawn. People were drawn. Because his life was devoted to that one thing that draws. That he wouldn't boast in anything except that. How about Peter? We find in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, for Peter put it this way, you have been called for this purpose since Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his steps. And if he was lifted up, so too are we. We follow in his steps. Our platforms. What are our platforms? And how do we lift Jesus up today in our lives? You know, I think back to our birth as Christians, and I believe that the first drawing power there that we find in our lives as we use our platform for him, we find that we have drawing power in the very death that we experienced. You know, if you look at Romans chapter 6 and following, when you look at our commitment to Christ from the baptism perspective, as we devoted our lives and said, we are not going to pledge allegiance to Caesar or any other king or any other god in this world. We're going to submit to him alone, Jesus alone. Remember what Paul said. He said, therefore you've been buried with baptism into death, right? In order that as Christ has been raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so you too might walk into new life. After you died, you had risen. This is by faith, obviously. This is a spiritual life, a new creation. But remember, Paul said, look, not only have we been buried with him, but we are also in the very likeness of the resurrection of Jesus. And we know that gives some insight into our hope of our final redemption of our redeemed bodies later on when we're going to be raised up again to this eternal life. But I think we lift him up in our death. And by the lives that we live from there, that's Romans 6, 4 and following. I think also that we lift him up in our actions. And isn't that simple and true? Do we not lift up Jesus today by our actions? Isn't that Christian influence? Isn't that example that we're trying to work on this platform? I find it interesting how the most simple truths of God's words are the ones we always come back to that seem to be the most difficult. Not the complex issues that we might bring up. It's the very simple ones. Like Matthew 5:16, where he says, we've heard it so many times, VBS and growing up as kids, let your light shine, kids, right? Let your light shine before men in such a way that he may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. But why do we struggle throughout our lives with that? Letting our light shine, that's right, Nathan. I see Nathan going like this around there. Letting our light shining in the neighborhood and in our community. We lift them up by our very own actions. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:12, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, right? So that when they see or observe your good deeds, they may glorify God in the day of visitation when He returns. You know, I think one of the challenges that I've had, and probably you too, is that on our platforms, we haven't always lived as we should. Anybody with me on this one? I think so. I don't think it's just me, but maybe it is. I'll confess if it is, I accept that. But my platform hasn't always been wonderful. When I had opportunity, I always didn't meet that opportunity or that need. And sometimes I flat out just embarrass God on that platform. This is one reason why I enjoy football, because I am able to look at it as a game of life, a miniature game of life. When you stop and think of the adversity that we face and how they face adversity throughout the whole game, and there's always the opponent on the other side that's doing everything they can to knock you out of the game. And if you can't relate that to your spiritual life, maybe you don't have any adversity. We all have adversity, don't we? And we know there's the opponent on the other side that's always doing what it can to cause us to fumble this ball, to cause us to lose this game that we are in, this life spiritually that we're living. Our platforms, we're not always doing it right. But you know what? That's what our hope is all about. That today, church, you have a new day. Doesn't matter yesterday anymore. You can't do a thing about it. Don't sit and chew on it all day either. You can do something today on your platform, and you will have an opportunity. You will have an audience. Watch your deeds. Remember, you died. You're a new creature. Watch your actions. And third and last point, I think we lift Jesus up simply, again, by our words. But how easy is it for us to watch our words and how we use our words, how we speak, our tongues? We lifted Him up this morning by our songs, aren't we? Those are words. We're edifying. We're lifting up praises to God. We're letting the world know what we believe in. People are learning about God through this. How about in our communion? We know the passage that says, look, as we take this, as often as you eat and drink, you know you're proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes, and a proclamation is with words. We proclaim His death. We did it this morning. Come, Lord Jesus. We're proclaiming His death until He returns again, and that He's going to return. In our conversations, also, I appreciate the prayer Wednesday night. Closing prayer, Kemp, I believe, led it, and I just appreciate what he said in the prayer as he mentioned our interaction and conversations with other people. Don't forget that. We have interaction and we have conversation. We have to watch what we say. We have to watch the words we use. How many of you are on Facebook? We use words there. What an opportunity. I'm on Facebook a little more now. And, you know, I'd have some old friends that, you know what, when I was around them, I didn't use my platform. Not good. But you know what? I've accepted them as friends because I know that I have an opportunity there. And they might defriend me and say, I don't want to be your friend. That's fine. But I've got an opportunity. As you have an opportunity, use those little opportunities with your words as a platform to bring glory to God. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Ephesians 4:29, and we're almost through here. Paul said, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it'll give grace to those who hear. But she hurt me, or he hurt me. We've got all kinds of excuses, right? They're not nice to me. But what did Mama say? Mama said, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all, right? And we amen that. We all have things we could say to somebody we probably shouldn't say. Don't open your mouth. Don't open your mouth. Find something good about a person and say it. Use your life as a platform for God. If I be lifted up from the earth, Jesus said, I will, not possibly, maybe, or could, but I will draw all men unto myself. He'll draw them through our death. And through our new birth, He'll draw them through our actions, and He'll draw it through our words. And that's this morning's lesson. Today, I want to encourage you to use your platform. Use it for God. Find an opportunity, something simple. Do it, and then say it, and bring glory to God. We're going to stand and sing. This is the time where we offer an invitation. Maybe you're ready to put on Christ. Maybe you're ready to place membership. Perhaps maybe you've wandered away from your Lord and you know you need to return. This is your opportunity. Will you come as we sing?